everybody, welcome to Radio Radar, episode 130. I'm your host, Henry Gilbert, rocking down the hits. I'm Henry Gilbert. This is the weekly podcast from GamesRadar.com. That was a cappella version of How Will I Know by Whitney
guest
Houston.
Whitney Houston.
R.I.P. Whit. But anyway, this is where we talk about the big events in the week in news, reviews, and going through our top seven, plus interacting with the community. And I'm here with...
Maxwell McGee, I'm stretching.
Lucas
Can people
Sullivan.
Even hear you, Maxwell? Come on.
Maxwell McGee, there
Thank
we go.
Thank you.
Lucas Sullivan, had his thunder stolen.
Lorenzo Valoria.
Okay.
Mashley Reed, who always has her thunder.
Well, we're all feeling probably just very fat and full of giant burgers and apps.
Apps and zerts.
Apps and zerts, baby.
Yeah. We had no zerts.
And zerts.
I was so close to ordering one of the boozy shakes at Red Robin's. I didn't want to, though. It's like a milkshake is 1,600 calories.
That is.
Too much.
That's your day. That's it. That's your whole day.
Yep. Yeah. You should know how. Yeah.
Portion control. One milkshake.
When I used to work at Johnny Rockets, there's this lady. Mm-hmm. She came in. Granted, she was the size of the booth that she sat in.
Great.
But she came in. She ordered a double cheeseburger, which is already like 1,300 calories, and a chocolate shake, which is another like 1,500 calories, and then like chili cheese fries, which was like another 1,000 calories. I'm like, oh god.
She said, ma'am, it's like, you may not leave here alive.
64 slices of American cheese.
I will say I felt pretty bad because I worked at Jamba Juice, which is supposed to be where you get the healthy drinks, but people come in and get peanut butter moods, which are like 2,000 calories. And someone came in who was like very large and obviously very sick, and she was like, I want the largest size of that you have. I'm like, I feel like I'm hurting you. I feel really bad.
Sign this waiver for me, please.
Jamba Juice is one of those places that you go and you think like, oh, this is so healthy. Nope. It looks so healthy, right?
Enjoy your ice cream.
Yeah.
That was exactly why I felt bad. I'm like, hey, she can make her choices as an adult, but I was like, I feel like I'm deceiving her into harming herself.
It's sorbet, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well,
wow, not
sorbet.
Even.
Well, I read that warning. I read this great article that was like, don't drink your dessert for breakfast. And it was basically saying, like, do you go to Starbucks and have anything other than straight coffee? Then you're like, then it was comparing, like, oh, did you have like this frappuccino with whipped cream? Then you ate an entire bag of M&Ms. Like, that's it was this great comparison of like the what you were eating.
There's all that sugar, and they just squirt a bunch of chocolate sugar
syrup
crap in
there. And people just think it's the morning coffee.
Yeah. If you're getting anything other than black coffee, think of it as your treat for the day. Yeah.
I recently grabbed coffee with somebody, and like they wanted to meet a coffee place. I don't drink any coffee, and so I was like, I guess an iced coffee. And just like we were talking, and every once in a while I just take a sip and I'm like, so anyway. But yeah, we've had occasion to go to Red Robin because our good pal, frequent guest on the show, managing editor Jan Jones, is leaving our little family, which is sad.
Aww.
Oh, come on.
It's a low volume little.
And it was a good goodbye lunch, and like our old, like even we had a special guest appearance by Frank Adams.
You guys, the voice of God.
You guys remember like how on old sitcoms, if a character, like somebody would have left the show for a while, and then it's the last episode, and they're like, this guy's back for the last episode. Woo! Like, Ashton Kutcher's back.
Right. And the live audience sort of cheers like for them. Like, as they just stand there.
Except their hair's different, and they have, like, a beard now because they're not on a sitcom. And actually, that was, like, Frank, too.
Yeah,
like,
he had a beard. He was evil Frank.
Yeah.
It was evil
it's Frank. True.
He had the evil goatee.
It's like he's the Mulder of...
Mulder.
A better show than the
Mulder
last season
Mulder didn't come back with
X-Files.
Different... He didn't come back with different facial hair, did he?
No.
In season 10 in the final
episode.
I thought
he did.
No, he was pretty much the same.
I was wrong.
That I didn't watch season 10. After the second to last season, that was like, Mulder's back. Well, he's going to be on half the episodes and Doggett's in the other half. I was like, oh, this guy sucks.
It's like, oh, this is a real thing. We're a much better show than the last few seasons of X-Files.
Well, and then that last episode actually wasn't bad, and because they just brought back Mulder and just pretended nothing happened.
That last
that.
Movie, though.
I didn't watch that.
Oh, God.
The first movie wasn't that great either.
I had to do it because, like, my fiancé is the biggest X-Files fan ever.
True fan.
And we went for the opening night. And there was literally, like, 17 people in the theater with
Ouch.
Us. It was crazy.
It should just be a TV show again. If they brought back back 24 for 12 episodes, they should bring back X-Files for another 12.
Well, there were rumors that it was coming back.
Yeah, they should.
Yep.
You've been shot.
Mulder's calling. They came in and they put him down. He's getting into those X-Files rumors.
No, they should be back, though. Like, both the stars seem almost too big for X-Files now, but also not too big. Because Gillian Anderson is starring in her own, like, Netflix show. Mm-hmm. And David Duchovny was just playing, like, a big perv in Californication, which, like, I didn't watch that show after the first episode I watched. It's like, oh, this poor rich writer is so, he has so many emotional problems while he's having sex with a different girl every episode. Yeah. Oh, it's so hard for this guy. Like, I, like, F this. I there's a million other TV shows I could watch before this one.
I'd be happy if they just passed the X-Files torch to some new and
they're not that old yet.
Well, also, like, they were really young when they started.
Well, now you put David Duchovny next to Richard Patrick or whatever the Doggett.
Uh-huh.
He played his replacement. Like,
they're all wrinkly.
He looks super old now. Yeah. Like, so old.
His face is melting off.
Like, when he was on Community last season, I was like, you are so old now. Oh my god.
He needs to go find the Fountain of Youth in that forest with all the Spaniards. Remember that episode?
Oh, yeah,
they sing the frog song. No? Nobody? Nobody
got it? I wish.
Let's move on.
I used to live near that. I visited the Fountain of Youth in Florida. Like, the one.
The actual fountain.
Well, the one Ponce de Leon thought he found in St. Augustine, and then I think he just kind of died in Florida. Like, he's like, I will find the Fountain of Youth. No, this doesn't work.
It's the episode with all
those Spanish.
The people that are, like, forest people, and they just, like, they're camouflaged in the forest.
Oh, boy.
What?
I just remember the guy who's functionally invisible because he knows how to stay in your blind spot at all times.
Yeah, that guy's
cool. That's a good one, too. Anyway, we should really get into the top
seven. So, video games.
I like to challenge myself on these now to see how long we can talk about things that aren't the top seven. But I suppose the time has come to talk about the top seven this week. Written by one Maxwell McGee.
Cowbunga.
Called Hardest Hard Modes in Gaming.
Clever title.
Yep. Just rolls right off the tongue.
Hardest Hard.
All right, Max, what made you want to write this?
This because I wanted to have a title that said Hardest Hard Modes because alliteration is funny.
Do you play on hard much?
That's something that I actually actively try to do more now just because I figure I've been playing video games for a long time. Usually when I'll burn through a normal mode, you'll get like to the end of the game and there's not a whole lot of challenge left anymore. And you're like, I'm just kind of going through the motions here. I wish this was a little more taxing.
I see. Well, taxing like number seven, XCOM Enemy Unknown, Impossible.
It's appropriately named. Because it is impossible, at least for me. I've never, I've played a lot of XCOM, put a lot of hours in XCOM. I'm not getting anywhere near impossible.
You ever heard of the Impossible Iron Man?
Oh, God.
Ooh. Which means, permadeath. You can't go back.
You can't go back. Yeah, you can't reload anything once you've made some mistakes. Every choice you make is permadeath. That's Iron Man.
So,
Iron Mode.
So XCOM, the tactical strategy game of operatives versus aliens, I think that was the game I've been most addicted to in like the last 5 years. I got pulled in so hard on it. And
it does.
I
got to unlock that new weapon so I can capture the alien and I can research the thing.
It was definitely a tough thing at the time of like, is Walking Dead really better than this? I don't know. Like for our game of the year stuff. I still mostly stand by it, though I know which one I'd replay again in a heartbeat and it would be an XCOM mission.
Enemy Within.
Yeah, Within. Yeah, if they need to make an HD plus version of that. But okay, so what makes Impossible just so impossible?
Impossible. I mean, for me, it's just that I don't have enough patience for Impossible mode. When I got my team out there, I always just want to keep pushing ahead. But just like I just want to find the monsters. I want to find the aliens. I don't care. Let's just go. Let's get it done. And then I'll always run out there. And then you'll get, two floaters will ambush you. They'll start chucking grenades everywhere.
Crossfire.
Sectoids coming up on your flank. And then, I just get wiped out.
And then you're just ruined.
And then, you just get wrecked.
Yeah. Well, I know in normal mode, like, you make one wrong move, it's over. Like, you've lost. You lose. If you lose one team member, like, I would remember, like, All right, I think I'll just explore over here. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And then my sniper's dead.
It's like cascading, rolling failure just kicks in, and like all the pieces just come tumbling down.
I should have been more careful with, like, and just, I should have played more conservatively with Overwatch mode. Which
right, you gotta have that.
Speaking of Overwatch, that'll be a key point in a later review in the second segment. But anyway, number six. Metro 2033 Redux Ranger Hardcore.
This was a Connor Sheridan suggestion. Mm-hmm. I've not played any Metro myself, but listening to him describe it and then reading about it, it did sound
true
difficult.
Survival in post-apocalypse.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Weapons are...
Well, it's like, oh, hey, your HUD? Nah, that's not a thing that exists in real life. No HUD, no reticle, no ammo count. You just kind of look at, you know, you can look at your watch, it'll tell you how many bullets you have left. It's not very many.
Well, and also, like, you're always on the clock. Like, you'll run out of the
oxygen
thing that lets you breathe.
Yeah, your air filters
there's
will
so
run out.
There's so many things to check in that game. It's like, there's a button to wipe your vision, your goggles.
Oh, God.
Well, the post-apocalypse really sucks.
Yeah. Like,
I have to wipe my own glasses and everything.
And all your bullets aren't, like, real bullets. Real bullets are actual money. Like,
right. That's one of the things I would read about people talking about. They'll be like, oh, yeah, I played through it on, you know, Ranger Super Hard Mode. Found, like, 100 crappy bullets the whole game. But, like, it's scaled where, like, you'll die in one or two hits, and the big, powerful enemies will die in, like, one or two bullets. But you just don't have any bullets.
You have no bullets
to shoot them with.
You gotta stabby stab.
You gotta save your bullets.
I know Dying Light got rid of that. Like, bullets weren't money anymore in the sequel, as I recall.
Oh, really? I always thought that was an interesting idea.
It was neat, but I think
shooting
it put some people
currency
off. Number five!
Whoa!
Fire Emblem Awakening Lunatic Plus.
This.
I gotta have that plus.
Dang. That's
tough.
How you know it's for real.
That is so funny that this is on this list, because this weekend I talked with a stranger about this mode, actually. So,
what?
So I went to the my laundromat, and like, you know, I was just doing like three loads of laundry because
like
I waited a whole month to do it, and yeah. And so, well, hey, it's so hard to get out there. It's one block from my apartment. It's really hard to get there. But I was doing the thing I do there, which is like, all right, stuff's in the machine, earphones in, podcast start, 3DS. I'm not here, blah, 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 blah. And then some a-hole decided he had to start a conversation with me.
He
was actually very nice and was just like, oh, a 3DS, wow, I should have brought mine. I could have street passed with you. And he was like this chemistry student that goes to Berkeley, and he was like, oh, me and my girlfriend play all the time, and what are you playing? And I was playing the review game that I posted this week, codenamed Steam. I'm telling him about it, and he's like, I haven't even heard of this game. But it's from the Fire Emblem guys. I love Fire Emblem. I beat it on Lunatic. But then they opened up Lunatic Plus. I was like, oh, boy. Wow, I'd never play that. And I beat every Fire Emblem. And then he showed me how he was playing a fan-translated Super Famicom Fire Emblem game on his phone. And I was like, I'll have some respect for you, buddy.
Hipster!
I thought you were going to say you found newfound respect.
You don't play that. Number one, it's like
not on
theft.
Your phone.
And two, on your phone with like touchscreen control.
Ensure your virtual D-pad, nerd. Yeah.
Not a true gamer.
Get a Super Famicom controller and plug it into your computer and play it there. Don't play it on your phone.
So the big thing about Lunatic Plus that sounded especially miserable is that Lunatic Plus opens up a bunch of enemy specific skills that the game will just randomly assign to anybody you come up against. And so these are things like all your attacks deal half damage. All your defenses are cut in half when the enemy attacks you. Like, bullcrap like that. And again, it's randomly assigned. So when I see people talk about it, they're just like, yeah, you just get into a fight, you look at the skills they have, if you don't like them, you just turn the game off, turn it back on. And you just go through it again and again and again until you get a spread that you like. And then you can start playing.
That almost seems like not even, like, what's the point then? Like,
I know,
you're not going to beat it. Like, then you just, like, you kept, that's like saying, like,
you're just gaming the system.
I won Monopoly. Like, oh, hell. I rolled the dice 500 times until I got
until
the combos
I
wanted.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I always win a Monopoly that way. Number four, F-Zero GX. Very hard.
I was surprised this wasn't number one.
Dang.
It's crazy
on normal,
hard, right?
No, crazy. On easy, it's like insanely hard.
Yeah.
All you do is crash. All you do. So, you're just in a constant state of crashing.
It's two. The F-Zero games are ones I've appreciated from afar, and I love their soundtrack, and I like how stupid they are, like, in their stories. And I also love that, like, F-Zero GX, one of the most, like, gorgeous games of its generation.
Yes.
But
yes.
I could never play them because it's like, I couldn't win. Like, I couldn't win. I couldn't win four races in
you
a row.
You just have to memorize the tracks. Yeah. Just memorize all the tracks.
You can't
it'll
make
be fun.
One mistake. Like, in and... This was why I think Miyamoto had this famous statement of just like he said he didn't want, and by famous I mean I remembered, that he was dissatisfied with. They gave F-Zero GX as a Sega game published by Nintendo, and it was two games. Sega got F-Zero, Star Fox went to Namco, and he was disappointed in both of them, and partially because like F-Zero was too hard, like it was too hardcore, like it wasn't for a Nintendo player at the time, and like Amusement Vision had a history of working on hard ass racing games, and so they brought that to there. Right? Am I correct?
Yes, I believe you are.
But, I mean, does that mean he just never played it when it was in development?
He might have just given Sega a lot more control than they were used to. Like Sega's like. Maybe he was busy working on Zelda 2 or something. But like Miyamoto is a very busy man. But like, yeah, I think maybe it was their first cooperation thing like that with Sega and Namco, and so they kind of gave Sega more leeway than they would have in the past. Like when I would read some interviews, I read like the Iwata Ask with the guys who made Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, and like they were having like daily video conferences with people in Japan, and like they said that Miyamoto had, and they said they ultimately appreciated it, but they said that Miyamoto had numerous like flip the tea table moments of just like, nope, restart, do this again. Like, but I don't think he had that. I wonder if anybody was doing that to them with F-Zero GX. But
I wish it hadn't landed F-Zero GX on the blacklist.
Well, and that's what like keeps. That's why there hasn't been an F-Zero game since then. Not really. There was a Game Boy Advance game,
right.
Cartoon. But yeah, I think it is because they just think, oh, it's too hard. Like
think like, does it have like a reputation now? Like, oh, if we brought it back, people would just think, oh, it's too hard. I don't want to play it.
Well, and also like. I think they were probably thinking, why are we... We only have so many people on Nintendo staff that can make racing games. And they also gave it to Sega as their way of saying, we don't want to make this game. Like,
right.
If a Nintendo high-level dude wanted to make an F-Zero game for the GameCube, they would have made that project. But clearly that and Star Fox were on their list of like, yeah, we don't care. You guys deal with it. And so that it just seems like nobody internally cares. If they would have ideas for a racing game, they'd just make it the next Mario Kart. And it was too, and this one was too
was
difficult
so
for
hard.
Miyamoto.
It was so hard.
But man, the soundtrack, so good. And by that, I mean like terrible, but good.
Well, yeah.
In the way the Sonic game, like, it kind of reminds me of like the Sonic game, like their vocals.
Right.
Song.
Any song with
Sonic R right now?
Sonic Racing. All right. Number three, speaking of music.
Hey.
Number three, Guitar Hero 3, Legends of Rock, Expert.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. I've played on Expert. It's not so bad.
Not so bad? You don't think it's so bad?
But there are some songs.
Mm-hmm. Like those, like the Dragon Force song.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
That's
when
the
I was
bar
writing
of like, that was when people realized.
That's when people started posting their gameplay on YouTube.
Well,
and
that's
when
I would watch people play.
Happening?
I'd be watching the guy play and he'd be strumming along, and then all of a sudden two hands mode up here to hit all the buttons.
You can do, like a real guitar, tap on and tap off.
Right.
I think.
Hammer on and
hammer
pull
on.
Off?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, hammer on and pull
but
off.
If you mess up one, then you gotta strum
it ruins
again.
It ruins the whole
really
screen.
You just have to perfect it in one go.
So that's what you'd be playing and then just like thumb and then like he's playing a flute all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Stone face. It's
just a wall of like colored circles coming down the screen. How do you even my brain can't even calculate what I need to push when. There's so many coming so quickly.
I mean, it's different when you're playing real guitar because you play guitar so much that, you know, it becomes muscle memory.
Right.
But this is like it's visual. And then you have to translate to your hands, and then it's just like a whole another level.
In the course of researching this too, I'd find plenty of like anecdotal examples. People inform me like, "Dude, I play the guitar, and it is easier. It's easier to play this song on my guitar than on the expert mode in freaking Guitar Hero."
they should get the actual guys who play these. They should get the
Mr.
actual
Dragon
band
Force.
Members.
The Dragon Force.
Steve Dragon.
Herman Lee. I think
Steve
that's
Dragon. Dr. Force.
I seriously think that's his name.
The guitarist, you mean? The lead guitarist who plays the most?
Who does... the sound effects, like
their big hit. I watched the music video for that, and like they just stood him in front of just a black background, just like, just play.
That's what you want to see. Yeah. That's what you came to see.
Well, then they would cut to the other guitarist in the band. I was like, hey, come on, guy. Like, I know you wanted to be in the video too, but you're clearly not as, like, nobody, like, this guy is like in the top 1% of guitar players on
the
Earth.
Guitar heroes.
He is the guitar hero. So I don't blame you for not stacking up next to this guy, but maybe just, you don't need to appear next to him.
Like, oh, wow.
I feel like he just described Metalocalypse, actually. That was a perfect description.
I think Dragon Force is like real life Metalocalypse. Yeah. Number two, Call of Duty World at War.
God, I've
veteran.
I've done this.
You've done this.
You've lived this nightmare.
How could this be so hard?
Oh, then I don't think it should be number two if Lorenzo can be.
Well, grenades.
Those levels are all over the place.
It's more patience. Yeah, it's like there's grenades every second.
Every second of every day that you're in that game.
It's basically
as soon as the level starts.
Cover.
Yeah, you can't. Anytime you're like, I need to get behind cover so I don't get shot. Whoops! Oh, grenades are coming.
Yeah.
And then you stand up to move away from the grenades, and then they start shooting you. So you're like, I gotta get back in cover and recover my health. Whoops! More grenades.
Sometimes I swear they cook their grenades.
Yeah. Or if you try to throw any of them back, you pick it up and it explodes instantly.
Or they'll throw multiple. It won't just land at your feet.
Right.
It'll be around you.
Just
YouTube.
A little bit away.
So there will be a grenade icon. It lands at your feet, and you're like, oh shit, I better run away.
Right.
And then you run into an explosion.
Right. Or you'll be fighting.
Another grenade.
And they'll be throwing grenades at you, and you're like, I can't do this. I have to back up like further. Yeah. So you back up even further. Then they just start spawning more dudes in. They're like, whatever, fuck you. Here you go. More grenades.
You're trying to cheese this.
So you're like making negative progress through the level as they keep pushing you back. It sucks.
It's insane.
I gotta see this.
Number one, Ninja Gaiden 2.
Oh, dear God.
Master Ninja.
Come on.
Now, I am a ninja. Ugh. I think we have several Ninja Gaiden fans on here.
The granddaddy.
I am not one to replay games on a harder difficulty normally, but I did it with the first Ninja Gaiden on Xbox. Yeah. And because I beat it on normal, and then I beat it on hard.
Nice.
Then I started very hard. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Yeah. I should play something else at this point.
It gets to be too much at that point.
Yeah, and that was also famous as a game that like basically called you a pussy for wanting to play on easy. Of just
ninja,
like, oh, you
ninja
dog. Oh, you want it easy? You want to get off the way of the ninja? Fine, loser.
Yep.
Here. Sorry, I made a video game for people that wanted to
challenge. Itagaki just comes through the TV, slaps you right in the face.
He was apparently not a great guy to work for, if you believe some stories.
Shocking.
But I do miss that guys like him who were just like these oligarchs at Japanese development places, mm-hmm. who were just like, I can do whatever I feel like.
Right.
Like, F you guys. Like, I'll just.
That guy is so creepy. In all of his interviews, he's got his sunglasses on.
He's got
the
sunglasses
just, like,
and the
pockmarked
face.
He looks.
He can't help that. I don't want to hold that against him.
He looks like he's dealing cocaine.
I got to
interview
him.
He wants some cocaine?
Wants some cocaine?
Hey,
I got to interview him in person once, and he was very prickly to me also.
Oh,
And I was supposed to interview him another time, and then he wasn't there. And,
Devil's Turd?
Well, yes, both times were for Devil's Third. 5 years apart.
Woo!
Oh, jeez.
How is that possible?
I interviewed, three years apart. But this was, so, it was 2011, my first Tokyo Game Show.
Mm-hmm.
THQ is doing their best to pretend like they're not on the verge of canceling.
Right, they're not about to self-destruct.
They're just like, clearly we're not about to self-destruct because we're spending all this money on this event in Tokyo.
Right.
Nobody that's about to go bankrupt would do that.
That would be crazy. Yeah.
They had basically the same spiel at the WWE event that within the same year. Of just like, you know, actually, this is our biggest WWE event ever. So I think THQ is doing pretty well.
I think we're going to be just fine.
I think that'll dispel any rumors.
And they were like done with it, like within the year of that. They did not release another WWE game. Anyway, so I interviewed Itagaki.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to have 30 minutes. At 15 minutes, he just goes, this is your last question.
Nice. He told you that.
And also halfway at the beginning, like,
he didn't like your tone, Henry.
I tried to make it clear to him,
like your tone, boy.
I'm a real fan. Like, I'm not some stupid gaijin that just heard, like, oh, Itagaki, I've never played his games. I'm like, right. I played the original DOAs, like the first three DOAs. I beat Ninja Gaiden and Ninja Gaiden. Well, actually, not Ninja Gaiden 2, which is what we're talking about. We're going to get there.
we'll get to who you are in just a second.
But he seemed to think I had stupid questions. And he also, like, at the very start, he revealed he had a good semblance of English because, like, he was correcting the translator. And he was like, you transcribe what he says in Japanese and she repeats it. You transcribe exactly as she says. What she says is what I say. Don't paraphrase. And I was like, I'm not going to.
Interesting.
And it was just very on edge. And then there was a point where she said one word about, like, the difficulty level of shooters and, like, Call of Duty. And then he corrected her to make it a different word. He's like, no, this word in English. In English.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, that's a good master of English vocabulary.
Why even have a translator? Though?
Yeah. And then, yeah, just cut it off 50 minutes. Cut to E3 2014. Nintendo.
This is a love.
Nintendo has just announced that Devil's Third is going to be their game, and it's
right,
a Wii U exclusive,
right.
And which is like, I hadn't heard dick about Devil's Third. Devil's Third was never playable. When I saw it in 2011, or when I was supposed to see it in 2011, it wasn't there. And they said, like, it was announced in 2009 as a 2013 game. By 2011, it had skipped two E3s, but 2011 was like, they said at E3 2011, oh yeah, Devil's Third's going to be there. And then a week beforehand, they released this goofy video made by a Japanese TV celebrity that basically said, you'll see it at TGS. Now I'm at TGS. There's still no game. Not one screen. Mm. And yet, Itagaki's like, it's going great. We have been testing
well
it out
along.
So much.
Doing good. Doing great.
So 2014, supposed to interview Itagaki. I'm like, man, this will be awesome. I'll tell him about how I interviewed him 3 years ago.
Right.
And then is right, I'm about to sit down. They're like, you're going to have to talk to the secondary guy on the game, like this, because Itagaki is not available. And then my personal conspiracy theory is that he was there, and also in that suite, I saw them presenting the Dynasty Warriors Zelda game, is the new head of Team Ninja, who is like been running the thing since Itagaki was forcibly removed from Team Ninja. So I'm thinking Itagaki, my thought is that Itagaki did not want to be in the same area as that guy.
Yeah. He was going to Ninja Gaiden that guy's ass.
So that's number one. I just had to tell that story.
Itagaki is actually the hardest. He's the hardest hard.
So Ninja Gaiden 2
in interviews.
I was very excited to play Ninja Gaiden 2, and then disappointed because it was also sold as, this is going to be easier, or we'll get rid of the bullshit. Like, you won't be able to, when you say that this dragon, it'll put your health back up to full.
Right.
You won't be stuck
it'll
in a save
fine.
Point
it'll
with a third
fine.
Of your health.
Yeah.
Like. And especially, like,
your health regenerated a little bit, didn't it?
If you do, you save the first time the dragon refills your health to the fullest.
Uh-huh.
But you can only do it once. One full regen of health per dragon.
Yeah.
Which is much better than, like, I remember the first Ninja Gaiden, one of the first times I realized how effed you can be at a save point. I saved it. I was like, okay, I killed these three super tough ninjas who beat the shit out of me. I will now save it because I'm so happy I made it here. Die, restart the save. Mm-hmm. The three ninjas are back again.
Yes.
Yes. No.
Yes.
They respawn.
Yeah, man. I remember.
And two
playing,
had all that bullshit. Yeah.
When I played two, I was like, I played the original one, beat it, did all the crazy, probably as much as Henry did hard mode and everything. Mm-hmm. And then Ninja Gaiden 2 came along. I was playing through. And it was pretty good, pretty hard and stuff. It crashed like towards the end of the game, and it destroyed my save.
What?
Wow, that never happened.
You got Itagaki.
Yeah, I got Itagaki.
What happened to me?
That was ultra hard mode. On
normal mode, I got stuck at like chapter 8, where it was still the same deal of I have no money to buy more health. I have all the health I'm going to have, and I am now facing super tough robots that shoot knockback explosions, and if you don't dodge each of like 12 in a row and then like kill all of them, you're done. Like, you're not getting farther. And so after doing that for about and you have to see the cutscene every time.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It's the start of the stage. Got to see that cutscene every time.
Yeah.
Oof. So and then You make that even more difficult in Master Ninja mode. Ouch, Areno. Like, you said, I loved your point in the article, was that everybody 100% everything immediately, it feels
right.
like now.
Yeah, game comes out, and it's like a couple of weeks, boom, you know, 100% playthrough, one arm time behind my back, did everything. And there's one of those videos, too, for Ninja Gaiden, too. It's 100% playthrough, no damage, like crazy high-level skill. But the thing that was interesting about when I was looking at it is like, wait, this video came out like, what did it? I don't even remember.
You
what
said
it,
6 years.
6 years. Yeah, that's why I was good. Yeah, it was 6 years later that somebody finally got around to doing that. It wasn't like the next year.
He's been practicing
or like
for
a few months. No, it was like 6.
Rocky music in the background.
Years.
It's a long
it took
time.
So long.
Speaking of a long time, this segment's been going long thanks to my long discussion. So that's the top seven for this week. Hardest hard modes in gaming. We publish a new one every Monday, and you need to check it out on the site. Go to GamesRadar.com, or also we tweet it and we Facebook it and all those things.
So you can't escape
all that
it.
Fun stuff.
Is that all? Is that the right way to say it? And also, hey, as long as you're listening to things we do, you should know that we do a stream every week. And by that, I mean four streams every week.
Monday,
right?
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 3:30 to 5-ish. On Wednesday, we go even longer because some of our video guys like to hijack it and give away even more things than we usually do.
And you love doing those giveaways, too.
Yeah.
And man, oh, man, dude, we got some good giveaways. I am hoping that we can do a really fun giveaway-y Mario-y stream next Wednesday. We shall see.
Hints being dropped.
Well, we could be playing one of like 80 Mario games. Yeah. Like it. So yeah, 3:30 Pacific, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Be there or be square, guys. all right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the current events with news, previews, and reviews.
Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time for the current events segment.
That's what it's called.
In celebration of Friday the 13th, the second one in a row this year, Jason Voorhees was announced as a downloadable character for Mortal Kombat X.
Hooray!
The second, following in the footsteps of one Freddy Krueger, this 80s horror monster man is now going to be cutting up people in MK, and it's a real fitting character to put in it, and it also makes sense because Warner owns the Friday the 13th series, or sort of owns it. But also it's part of a DLC pack. You buy him because everything has a season pass now,
of course.
Obviously.
Of course.
you get that, and you're going to get another unnamed extra character.
Freddy.
Like, so.
And Goro.
I feel like it'll be and Goro.
We pre-ordered get Goro.
Some people, you know, there were still those rumors going on. The rumors I saw going around, they could be either Predator or Spawn.
Ooh, Predator.
Both of which, honestly, they should all feel like, it'd be so funny to have Predator in there and have him face like Cyrax or the other dudes that are just Predator ripoffs. Like,
they have the dreads and everything.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember. But
this is the not big secret about Mortal Kombat, but every character in it is a ripoff of an 80s film. Like, that's every one of them.
Yeah.
And that's what's, I love how stupid Mortal Kombat is and how much they embrace their dumb stories. But like, yeah, Johnny Cage, like Liu Kang is Bruce Lee. Johnny Cage is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes.
Like, Kano is a Terminator, basically. Like, these, that it's all those things.
Who's Sonya Blade?
A woman.
A lady.
Ripley, I guess.
A police officer.
Raiden is the lightning god from Big Trouble in Little China. Like, it all fits. Like, yeah. And then when they made more dudes, like, yeah, Cyrax, they're two ninjas. What they're to what Sub-Zero is to ninjas, they're to Predator.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, you guys excited about Mr. Voorhees?
I think he's cooler than Freddy, by far.
What?
What?
Freddy's got magic, man.
Freddy invades people's dreams.
Yeah. Freddy's like a perv.
He eats people.
Yeah, that's
just like a straight up killer.
All right. Well, do you identify with Jason being a victim, getting revenge instead of just like Like, well, they're both out for revenge, but Freddy's like, you guys burned me to death after I got away with murdering your children. How dare you?
Well, the other thing is, like, going into dreams, that's like, come on. Do it for real.
Go into their dreams for real.
No. Chop them up with a machete. Instead of just being like, ooh, I'm scaring you. And then, oh, you're really dead. That's stupid.
No, that's cool. Come on. Anybody can put on a mask and just be like.
I've never seen any of the movies. So.
What?
Never mind that.
Crazier.
I have opinions.
Please don't put on a mask and go kill people.
Between those two characters as films, I'm always much preferred the Freddy to Jason ones. Like, Jason ones really just follow the exact same script every time of just like, these sexy teens need to be murdered. How dare they have sex and do drugs? Well, meanwhile, like, Freddy was like, he at least his victims were like more interesting. They were like the disturbed weird kids, and they're having emotional problems. Like, they're not just like, you know, people at a kegger that like took a wrong turn towards Camp Crystal Lake.
Here's the other thing, though. Jason's got those mom issues.
Uh-huh.
That's a deeper character than Freddy, right?
Freddy's got lots of issues, man. He's like, okay, so because Freddy's mom, do you know the thing about Freddy's mom? That his mom worked at a prison, at a mental institution.
Sure.
And that during a prison break, she was.
Ooh.
Let's just say that the saying is that Freddy is the son of a thousand maniacs. Like, that's the...
Jesus
This I'm just telling you what is canonical about Freddy Krueger. I don't want to talk about these nasty things either, but I'm just saying, if we're talking about Freddy Krueger's mom and what, like... Watch Freddy 4 and 5. Like, there's some effed up ish there. Man.
I was going to say, if we're talking about mom issues, let's talk about Psycho. But I think we're good.
Yeah, we're good on the mom issues.
Good.
I don't, you know, I really don't think, you know, Bates would do so well in Mortal Kombat X.
No problem. You give him, like, crazy powers.
Meanwhile, something got delayed out of Christmas. The first of the holiday games to get delayed. I hope the last. because everything got delayed out of 2014 into 2015. So I thought, well, everything will be out in 2015. Not so with Uncharted 4, which is now a 2016
Christmas
release.
Christmas is ruined.
It's a spring 2016 release, which, you know, I like having spring games. We've been having a gay old time playing all these spring games coming out this March, right, guys?
Yeah. Resident Evil Revelations 2.
Ollie 2.
It's been a magical March. But
who will fight against Laura now? Who will the PlayStation people have?
Well, I do find it interesting that now we won't have the Xbox's Tomb Raider game versus the PS4's Uncharted game going head to head. Like, that would have been an interesting like battle to see live. But who knows, by June, Rise of Tomb Raider could just be announced for the PS4. Like, who knows? I bet it will be.
I pray.
Yeah. What? Just play it on Xbox One. You have it, right?
I have it in the house, but it's in the living room TV.
Oh.
I like to get.
I need to walk down the hall to go.
Listen,
play it.
Sometimes other people want the TV, and I'm just in the zone.
And it's so hard to unplug it and like move.
Man, if you had a Wii U, you wouldn't have to worry about whoever was on the TV.
You just play on the tablet.
Second screen experience.
That's right. That's right.
Life is just so hard, you guys. It's so hard.
Renzo, I thought you'd have had a Wii U by now. Like, I thought Smash was going to be it. You're going to buy it for Zelda. Like,
Zelda for sure. Well, the thing was with Smash, I only play that with people, and at home there's only.
Yeah, it's a problem of being a grown up and not in like high school or college anymore.
Yeah.
It's like that. People have jobs and live far away from each other.
I don't typically call my friends over and say, hey, come on, play some Smash.
We can have a sleepover.
Hey, yeah, sleepover.
Meanwhile, over 90,000 people want there to be a Modern Warfare 2 HD.
For some reason. Okie doke.
That's neat.
Here's the problem.
Though
the original
HD
Modern
Plus
Warfare,
or whatever.
Yeah. The original's in HD. When do we phase out the terminology of blankety blank HD?
Somebody will make up like... You know, Epsilon or whatever.
Remake.
Like, somebody
Omega.
Will
4K.
Yeah, somebody will put out a game that will be the remake that's so popular, like, or it'll just be called Definitive Edition or whatever, which is a total lie because, like, there was a game this week called Definitive Edition, which is like, no, in 10 years, you'll put out, like, 4K or whatever, or, like, DMC in your eyeballs or whatever. Like,
in your brain. Projected into your brain.
Yeah. projected off the back of your eyeball. It's like, so the definitive, I don't think is so true there. So it can't be definitive. And like, yeah, it's an old, I don't know how I feel about this, because there's, number one, we are chock-a-block with Call of Duty games. We don't need more Call of Duty, if you ask me.
I'd take it if they replaced one of the new ones.
If just one year, they're like, look, more time. We'll give more time to the game we would have put out this year. Just play Warfare 2.
Because we know you're going to.
Give Infinity Ward an extra year. You know, they could use it.
Infinity Ward kind of needs to find themselves again, that's for sure.
They need to find themselves. Well, we'll see what Treyarch has to
take
do
a trip
year,
to Tibet.
But anyway, this was actually a very popular story on our site this week, the news post about it, and I think this definitely the 90K signups as of the time of the article posting, like, that shows there is a definite interest in it. And Activision is definitely the type to notice where people want to spend money and make the thing that people would spend money on. Like,
what was the last time though that a petition actually made something happen?
You mean like ever? I don't know. I think when Betty White starred on SNL when she hosted SNL.
I was going to say like the Declaration of Independence, maybe that was.
Come on. No, but yeah, Betty White on SNL, that happened. But like the Mass Effect, look, that Mass Effect thing just makes me barf. Every time, like, look.
Nation and Infinity Ward, some cupcakes.
When Mass Effect 3, when they put out their updated ending, they should have just, like, it should have just been them giving the finger to people. Like, oh, you wanted 10 more seconds to this? Okay.
They should have just, like, violently murdered everyone. Like, oh, you wanted 10 more seconds? Cutting off Garrus's head. How about that?
Oh, yeah, all the dudes getting off the ship at the end, looking around. Like, then the ship just explodes. And then Garrus's head just flops in front of the camera. Just like, there, now everyone's dead.
Tally's
F you.
Arm. Legion's Eye.
I would totally download that.
And now on a somber note of news this week, Sir Terry Pratchett has passed away, which is
fill me in
sad
on
to
this
hear.
Guy's legacy.
All right, so have you ever heard of Discworld?
Only by name.
So Discworld is a very long, like 70 books long, a series that started out as just a fantasy parody. Like, it was parodying the books of the, well, I guess Tolkien on up, but just all these like dominant fantasy tropes. They were comedy, like dry British wit comedic books set there, of like starring the world's worst magician in the first book of the Discworld series. But then it just kept growing and growing and growing. Like, it's very simple in the first couple books. I've read about 10 Discworld books, not every single one of them, but it just kept growing and growing with each entry, to the point where it's just like, well, this is the book about the wizards. This is a crime cop book about fantasy cops who are called the Night Watch, and who are like, they're dealing with internal racism against werewolves, and like, it's really and there was also like this really cool book. He even did one. I read the first two books of it that were kind of like a Harry Potter for girls, would be the tagline of it, of just like set in that world, but you don't need to read them all, of just like this young girl becoming a witch and learning witchy powers and being supported by like a bunch of things that are basically Smurfs, but Scotsman Smurfs who speak in very dense Scottish accents, which is very odd to read. But anyway, I was a big fan of Mr. Pratchett. He was really funny. He also wrote one of my favorite funniest books. It's just weird for me to read a book that like actually makes me laugh out loud, like a book that can be funny. And he was awesome at it. And he wrote not in the Discworld series. He wrote a series called Good Omens, a book called Good Omens.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
With Neil Gaiman. Like, it was Neil Gaiman's first book. He went on to do Sandman and American Gods and a bunch of other books. And it was really hilarious. And unfortunately, like Sir Pratchett got diagnosed with like Alzheimer's some years back, and had been working through it. Like, he was still publishing about as many books, and just needed, like, he was just dictating instead at the time. And he has finished what he thinks is his final book. And one of the like funny, sad things, like the last tweet from his account was, his account on Twitter hadn't said anything since Christmas. And then this week there was just a tweet. So Death is a character in the books, like, who appears every once in a while. And you can tell it's Death speaking because Death's parts are written in all caps with no quote marks. And so then the tweet is just like, I'd like to speak to you, Mr. Pratchett, all caps. And so the fans know it is Death. Like, it's them announcing Death has come for Pratchett. And it was just, it was a fun way to talk to the fans and let them know the sad news. But in keeping with his stuff, also that Pratchett is... his daughter is a very accomplished video game writer. Like, she's written, Rihanna Pratchett has written many games, including Tomb Raider and Rise of Tomb Raider.
She's the
credited writer. Yeah, Rihanna Pratchett. Like, she became a writer in her own right. About a decade ago, she wrote Mirror's Edge, Heavenly Sword, a bunch of major games. Like, she is a big deal by herself. But,
and she's working on the Tomb Raider comic book right now.
Yeah. So, that is. Tangentially how it's related to games, though. Also, I saw a funny tweet from this isn't true for the US version of PC Gamer, but for the UK version of PC Gamer, one of their editors tweeted out that Terry Pratchett is the only human that's ever appeared on a PC Gamer cover, and it's a picture of him from like a long ago issue of him just like announcing a Discworld game, and it's just like, boom, Terry Pratchett on the cover. They're £3.95. All right. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that. Reviews. You know, I put my review up here first, but I've been talking for so long. And so let's get into Lucas's review this week. Ori and the Blind Forest, which I was seeing the internet lose its ish about this morning or this week about just how gorgeous it is, and
it
how
is
it's the
one
bestest,
of those beautiful games.
And it's like the new. All right, you just tell me, what is Ori and the Blind Forest?
All right, so it's like a new school Metroidvania.
Okay,
and
man,
it's,
there's like a million Metroidvanias now.
I just had deja vu, which is impossible.
You see a Verge, maybe.
but yeah, it's. Super gorgeous because it's hand animated, hand drawn, so it looks as good as like a Disney film in my opinion. But it plays like Super Meat Boy because it's platformers with super tight controls.
All right,
and it's really really difficult in parts, but because it's a Metroidvania, you can go wherever you want. The trick is that you can save anywhere, but the game won't save for you. So there's only like 3 points where you actually get a checkpoint. The rest of the game, you have to manage where you want to respawn.
Ooh, boy. Oh, man.
And it's a limited resource at the beginning. So it becomes, it's a very tricky thing to have to learn of like, if you don't have a save, that should be your priorities to get the energy back. Because otherwise you're just going to explore around, die, and then... It's as if none of that happened. But yeah, it's a super, super great game because, as I said in the review, like the artistry of it is just insanely good.
I've heard it's like one of the most beautiful games ever. Like.
Yeah. Every single background has like tons of depth to it. If you actually stop and look at it, you'll probably be running around trying to not die a lot of the time. But when you do take a moment and appreciate it, it is super gorgeous. The music is really awesome. The story is pretty straightforward, but very affecting, I'll say. The more cinematic moments and like climactic scenes are just crazy to behold.
Mm.
That said, if you're not the type that loves a hardcore 2D challenge, you may be bashing your head against the wall because the game is not easy and it doesn't really hold your hand ever. So you have to be ready for, you know, some pretty trying sections where you just die again and again. And
like
again
to
and
the
again.
Point where you memorize it from just doing it
having
over
to
and
do
over.
It yeah. over and over.
Yeah.
And what score did you give it?
I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Interesting. All right. Well, also, this speaking of hardcore and super tough, Hotline Miami 2 came out this week as reviewed by one Dave Houghton in the UK. And, you know, I was very disappointed to read his review for it just because, like, I loved Hotline Miami. Like, loved it.
Really?
I love the first one.
I didn't know that. I thought you played it and you were like, that's too much.
That
was me. That was yeah. Me. Yeah, when the guy pukes in the alleyway, I'm like,
I'm out.
This is too graphic.
Well, when I played it on the PC, I was like, controlling this with a mouse or something? Blech. And so, but then when it came out on PlayStation, I could have real regular twin stick controls. I was like, oh, this is fun. This is really great. And then it was one of those, I was so into it, like I was playing it on the train. It was like one of two games ever that has made me miss my stop because I was just so into it. I was like, I then look up, I'm like, I just left my station. Crap. And also feeling like, feeling embarrassed about playing it in public just because I was like, this is like so gory. Like playing it on my Vita, like this is a disgusting game to look at. But I love it so much. Like the music's the best.
Yes.
And so I was super excited for 2, but it seems 2 just falls a little flat.
It sounds like the main problem is over designing things. So mm-hmm. Dave Roberts also played it and beat it. Didn't write the review, but was filling us in during a friendly session of Helldivers. And it sounds like they just went overboard in terms of like laying out the level. So I guess I haven't played it yet, but I still intend to. The music's still awesome. The graphics are still the same, like very stylized, pixelated gore.
Brett, I read this hilarious note from the PC Gamer reviewer about it where somebody said that, like, this guy just gave it a bad review because the game deals with the bad subject matter and he couldn't take it. And then the reviewer replied with, like, I gave it this review because, like, it's broken and buggy. I can show you the video of the dog stuck in a wall spinning in circles if you want to see it.
Just infinitely running in place.
Yeah.
But, like, rooms have too many enemies to the point where it's, like, just painful mm-hmm. to get through a level.
And I know Mr. Houghton was not pleased with the new abilities and extra characters.
Yeah, I guess
felt very tacked on.
The masks are like a little too niche mm-hmm. this time.
He gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
Bad game, just the Second Coming.
As you would have expected from them making a second Hotline Miami. This isn't the end, but the last big review this week was codenamed Steam, which I reviewed, and I really liked it a whole lot. I was actually in the high end of reviews online, which I didn't expect. I thought other people would like it, but it's an original thing from Nintendo, but it's made by the people who made Fire Emblem, Intelligent Systems, and it's also a turn-based strategy game, except the camera is a third-person shooter in function. Like you walk around a grid-based map. Each step uses steam, and then that shows you how much you can move. And then if you want to take a shot, you can move your view within that square wherever you want. Like it's not a die roll if you get a headshot. You better aim for that head and shoot him in the head or wherever their glowing weak point is on the alien.
That's crazy.
And so I really liked the kind of – it was a real mashup of third-person shooter with turn-based strategy. And also I love the world of it because I read somebody else refer to it as public domain Avengers. And it really is. It's just like, what's every character from the 1900s who's in the public domain? We got Wizard of Oz people. We got John Henry. We got one of the weirdest things is that the Tin Man from Wizard of Oz is Japanese. Like he's written as a Japanese guy. So I'm like – what?
They can do whatever they want.
And the character designs are great. Like I've been in love with the character design since I saw the reveal and met the artist, the character artist for the game, because she talked about how she is a big fan of, I think I talked about this before on here, but a big fan of American comics from the 60s, like Jack Kirby, or also Mike Mignola, the creator of Hellboy. And so she was drawing like using her Japanese influence as well, like manga and all that, but then trying to draw things like out of a comic book too, out of an American comic book, and then it's also steampunk, and then then Abraham Lincoln is there, and he has a giant robot, like it's and it's so crazy, like it's so over the top, like that's what I love about it, and it's got some neat amiibo stuff where you can just unlock Fire Emblem dudes in the game if you touch a Fire Emblem amiibo to it. Good luck finding one of those guys, but if you happen to own a Fire Emblem amiibo, boom, you get him in the game.
That's pretty neat.
So yeah, I think the only major downside to it is that functionally, the camera The camera can't leave the view of your players, the characters on the board. You never get the pulled back, let's see the whole map type view. And because of that, you need to see where the enemy is moving. You can't skip because you won't be able to spot them. So it makes you just it makes you watch the enemy movement every time, and it takes minutes sometimes. Like
that sounds like a pain.
And it does kind of suck of like, all right, move, okay, they're moving here. All right, okay. Oh, you walked backwards, AI, in this game? Great. Okay, walk back again. But once the alien turn is up, like you're just right back in there, like, yep, another turn. Walk, shoot, bam, dude. Okay, I'll do this. Like it's back on immediately, but I don't know what the fix would have been. Like you kind of have to watch to play the game right. I think you have to watch them move around. Like
maybe
so,
they could have done like Bravely Default. The playback you can make faster.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they could have just been like double speed. Like, can we just double speed this? But it was not a move they wanted to do. But that's really the only downside to it. I really enjoyed it. If you have a 3DS, it's also really good on the new 3DS because the C-stick controller, the secondary thumb nub is great for moving the camera. Like, it is a game made for the new 3DS. When I demoed it before the new 3DS existed, I was like, oh, this camera control is not great. I have to use the ABXY to move around the camera or touch the touchscreen. Man, I wish this had the second stick controls. Oh, boom. Like, they were clearly making this for the new 3DS. Duh. All right, so I ended up giving it a 4 out of 5. I still think I really enjoyed it myself. And Max, why don't you give us a brief update from the world of Resident Evil Revelations?
Ooh, Resident 2. Evil Revelations 2.
What episode are we up to?
We're up to 3.
That's the most recent review.
And then 4 comes out next week.
This is a review that won't end for you.
That's right. 4 comes out next week, but then that's when I can host the full review as well. Because I think episode 4 comes out that week, and then there's like a bonus. Mm. Bonus chapter. Mm-hmm. And I think those both come out at the same time.
As in the real ending where you find out that everybody that died didn't die.
Right. Everybody, and then everybody comes back as a giant zombie.
Yep. After you're done explaining this, I want to ask a question about the retail edition. But dude.
Okay, I'll do my best. But that all comes out next week, so then I'll have my full review up next week, and you'll finally be able to put a number to it. But you guys have been bringing, I've got the review so far, encompasses episodes 1, 2, and 3. I've been enjoying it a lot. The
good
co-op stuff is pretty fun. Luke's and I, we played a little bit before starting the show here.
It was a good time. And co-op then Lorenzo, awesome. You were saying, yeah.
Co-op is awesome.
So everybody in the office here has put some time into it, has enjoyed it a whole lot. So I think the final review will reflect that.
I see. And then speaking of Capcom games, DMC Devil May Cry Definitive Edition came out as well. Got a 4 out of 5 from our reviewer.
Boom!
Look.
Oh, DMC.
I played it some. I played the Definitive Edition some. It looked like just a better looking version of the first one.
I'll take that.
Like I really love the first one. Like I think 4 out of 5 is the exact right score for it to get. Like I'm not saying it's like it's higher than that. I wouldn't score it higher than that. And yet I would also say like everybody should play it, or I think it's an awesome game and worth playing. And especially if you're one of the crybabies saying that this guy doesn't look like the old Dante. Like, really, guys, please, give it another shot. Like, this is the time to give it another shot.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry I just made fun of you now. All right, so we're going to take speaking of our listeners, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, it'll be the community segment with my favorite answers to last week's question of the week. Welcome back, everybody, to the third and final segment of episode 130, the community segment.
Community segment.
We're all too lazy to dance. Except me and Heavy.
Woo, great song. Everybody's too full of Red Robin.
These losers ready will dance. Yeah.
So last week's question was because the Battletoads were coming back to appear in Shovel Knight for the X-Bone. I asked, what old game would you like, or old characters would you like to see come back in a new form? And these were our favorite replies. Tiger Eyes 85 said, It'd be great to see a reboot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the NES game. Drove me crazy as a kid playing it since I found it too difficult and kept dying all the time. When I came back to the game when I was older, I gained an appreciation for the difficulty and trying to master the moves and timing. A 2D reboot in the style of Scott Pilgrim, the game, would be... I don't know why I said it like that. I like everything that is Scott Pilgrim. Anyway, Scott Pilgrim, the game, would be cool, but I also think they could do a 3D fighting style game out of it. Think Batman Arkham City style combat with four different characters with unique abilities and power-ups. I can just tell you, they try that with the Ninja Turtles.
TMNT Tournament Fighters?
Oh. No, the game Lorenzo reviewed.
TMNT Oots.
Didn't do so good, did it, Lorenzo?
It needed some polish. It needed a lot of polish.
Still yet.
I still played the crap out of that game. Yeah.
All right, Max?
What do we got here? We got Jib47. Mm-hmm. He says, or she says, we need another chance to control everyone's favorite bounty hunter, Samus Aran. Seriously, who doesn't want another 2D Metroid? These games are the basis for an entire subgenre of platformer, and the last time we got a proper one, Other M doesn't count, it was over 10 years ago. Give the license to Retro and let them loose. Given their previous experience with Metroid and their recent success with the Donkey Kong Country franchise, I would love to see what they would do with a 2D Metroid. Wouldn't we all?
You know, they hid a ship in the background in front of Tropical Freeze's lets. Mm-hmm.
Are they trying to send us a message?
I wish they just do it. Like, shit or get off the pot, man, Retro. Come on.
Dang.
On notice.
Aaron Baba says, Battletoads have got amphibians on my mind. Whoa. Has got amphibians on my mind?
Okay, just edit as you read.
And there's only one amphibian worth bringing back to modern games. Gex can go freak himself. No, I'm of course referring to Frog of Chrono Trigger fame.
What?
Think of all the awesome new genres they could slap the Masamune-wielding green guy into. Frog's Endless Runner, or Hopper. Ugh. You have all the time you need, eh? Or how about Flappy Frog? This thing is still relevant and popular, right?
The commenter wrote a lot more after that. That basically said, "I am joking with those things, but it still would be cool to see Frog." But I was like, "Yeah, this is funny enough. We can stop there."
Jars, clever name. Says, "Bring back the rest of the licensed Disney Capcom games of the late '80s and early '90s." Ooh. I can't be the only one who loved the DuckTales remaster of Chip and...
A DuckTales-style remaster of the Chip and Dale.
Who'd love a DuckTales-style remaster of Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, Darkwing Duck, and the rest of the awesome platformers? In lieu of my first choice, which would have been Battletoads, Microsoft came through with that.
Making
exclusive new games out of my favorite rare nostalgia on a console I'll never buy. I can't even read it.
All right, let's just move on. Next question.
Angels and Demons 1 says...
And Ashley's is like two lines long.
Angels and Demons 1 says, bring back Colony Wars rooted in the PS1 era. I would love to see next gen graphics, the divergent plot lines and endings, and James Earl Jones as narrator.
Whoa.
Do you need some help with that one, Lorenzo? Someone have to read
James
that
Earl
for
Jones,
you?
Is he is he still around? Is that guy still around?
Is he?
Yeah. What?
I of guess course. Yeah. We would have heard of his passing. Well, I mean, look, they've already replaced him as Vader, so like it makes me so
they
sad
did
that,
for episode 3?
No, that was his last time. Okay. Like, but I mean, in ancillary things, they've never tried to get him back, nor could they. Like, he's way too busy. But like, it just makes me sad that the last thing he'll probably ever say is Vader is the stupidest thing ever. Like, what about Padme? In your anger, it seems you killed her.
No.
What? She was fine when I left her. No.
Oh God!
Listen,
I felt sad.
I loved how the first cut of that scene. He had his arms up over his shoulders.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like, he came up on the bed and he's just like, and his hands are up like this.
He looks like he has the smallest fist hands ever. Yeah, like, this is the guy that's just choking people.
I'm glad they redid that. I'm really glad they redid that.
Oh, man. The worst scene, despite the changes.
Angels and Demons 1, you are the winner of this week. So send an email to RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com to claim a prize. Just tell me what systems you've got, and you might just get something. This week's question of the week, as suggested by one Ashley Reed, is what is the most difficult game you've beaten or hardest mode you've played on, at least? And so, boy, that is a tough E, which I hadn't already said. Ninja Gaiden on hard mode, but that might be it. Though I do think I did my best with the original Advance Wars on Advance mode, but like it's way too hard. Like the Advance Wars games are just make one wrong move and it's over. Like there's only one right path to winning. Like so, I'm gonna say the original Japanese Super Mario Brothers 2.
Ooh.
I pushed myself to beat it. I could only beat it with save states. So I'm kind of a phony.
You're fessing up.
But I did beat that, and it was like too hard and stupid, and they were right. Nintendo was right not to publish it here because it's not a great game, and it was really just made for people who had played. They only made it because people in Japan had played Super Mario Brothers so much that Nintendo could rightfully assume every person that owns an NES is an expert in Super Mario Brothers, so we have to make the toughest game ever for them. And that's why it doesn't hold up so well. All right, who's next?
I mean, I got one.
Go for it.
Locked and Loaded. The Dark Worlds and Super Meat Boy.
Oof. I got halfway through that.
Couldn't... I never did the You're a Golden God, which is, I think you do.
Oh, well, perfect everything.
Yeah. You A-plus everything, but I definitely didn't do that. But yeah, I got the Dark World ending, which I was like sweating profusely trying to do. And then I also got the kid unlockable character, which is
the hardest.
Yeah.
Wow. From that means the I want to be the guy levels?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, boy.
And
oh,
those Jesus. Were,
it was like, you better have 3 hours to set aside to try this because there are three levels sequentially that you have to do
in order. And if you give up on it, you have to start over from the first one. Like, yeah, you know, when I was reviewing Super Meat Boy, and it's one of my favorite games I ever reviewed. And it was one of those things too, where it's like, I would have given it a 10, but I don't think it's legitimately, like, objectively a 10, but is a 10 in my heart. I gave it a 9, which I still think it deserves. But, like, when I was like, I have to beat it this weekend. Like, it's, and then I beat what I think is the end of the game, and it took me, of regular mode, and it took me 2 hours, and I was about crazy. And I was like, all right, finally beat this guy. All right, take that, Dr. Fetus. Everything's exploding. Cool, cool. Wait, what? No, it's a Metroid escape the exploding thing? No! 2 hours later, like nearly smashing my 360 controller.
Oh,
they
God.
Get you good. First you go in, and then you come out.
Oof. So, yeah. All right, who's next? Come on, guys.
I think it's, for me, it's either one of the two, and I'm sure as soon as I say this, people will be like, that's not hardcore. But
I wouldn't say that.
I beat Bioshock Infinite on 1999 mode. That was just crazy.
That's pretty good.
When it gets to the end and everything's just exploding, you're like, ah, just running around.
The ghost fights is just like stupid.
Yeah, the ghost fight is nuts. But I figured out at that point, because I had already played through it the normal way, I figured out that it's like I can use these water whips, grab a bunch of dudes, and then shock them immediately and they'll explode. And I just keep doing that over and over.
Those ghost bomb portions were why I did not vote for it for Game of the Year that year. Like, this ghost bomb stuff sucks. It puts the whole game, it just kills the game dead, as does the final fight in the game.
I mean,
I'll give you that one. I actually like the ghost mom portions, but the final fight, especially on 1999 mode, just like,
well, it was just so, like, they didn't have a boss fight for you, which is fine. I would prefer waves and waves of enemies to shitty boss fight that were, like, at the end of the first Bioshock. But, yeah, it was just like, can you beat 80 dudes in a row? I guess I probably can, but I don't see what the point of this is.
It was so very,
we'll just kill the 80 dudes, and then we'll show you an hour of story stuff. All right,
like,
fine.
God damn it. But it was either that or beating Dishonored, Shadow, and Ghost at the same time, which is you don't kill anyone and no one sees you.
Ooh.
That was rough. That was impressive. Rough going.
Renzo or Max? Master Quest.
Probably that Call of Duty.
Oh yeah, totally.
More veteran.
It's one of the things on the list.
Number
two.
Right? That was totally ridiculous. But honorable mention to Battletoads. I got pretty close to beating that game back in the day.
God. Couldn't do it without a Game Genie myself.
Man, yeah, I got pretty far, which is. I even memorized that third level where you're on the like hover bike thing.
The worst.
And you have to dodge all the walls. Yeah. Oh,
but, you know, I mentioned Game Genie. This will give you more time to think, Max, if you need it. But I mentioned Game Genie because I went to local indie wrestling / weed smokeout Hood Slam. I did not partake. Say no to drugs, guys.
Not.
But I'm just saying weed was everywhere there. But. And number one, they have a code word that if the announcer says the word blueberry pancakes, it means a cop is here and you better hide your stuff if it isn't medicinal. And it was the first time I'd ever heard him just say like, oh man, he slammed that guy like a stack of blueberry pancakes. He is eating up those blueberry pancakes. Oh my, blueberry pancakes. I was like,
do the cops not know that is the secret word?
I don't think the cops care. Like, but then second, at it. They have in the thing they have game characters wrestle and you're supposed to treat them as real. Like, yeah, this guy's Link. It's Link. Link's here. Awesome. And people like put up like the Triforce sign, like they do a triangle sign. So Link was facing a character called Angry Nerdy Gamer.
Okay.
In a wrestling match. And Angry Nerdy Gamer was able to beat him because he had a Game Genie. Like he was like, you know what, Link, you can get the first shot. And Link's trying to attack him. And he can't swing his arms. And he's like, that's right, because I've got a Game Genie. And that's the and I've set it to no attacks, no damage. And they had to just pretend. And then and when ridiculous things happen that don't make sense, the audience then chants, this is real. This is real. The same thing happened when Scorpion came out and was impersonating Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jr., meaning he was a pregnant man dressed as Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jr.
But also a Scorpion.
And also Scorpion. And Scorpion I'd seen multiple times, but this time he thought he was the star of Jr. Then he gave birth in the middle of the match and did his get over here move with his baby, with the fake baby and the umbilical cord. And then he got disqualified for the first time ever in Hood Slam history. No one's ever been disqualified because he broke the only rule of Hood Slam, which they put on all their signs, which is like, don't bring your fucking kids. Like, that's the rule of it. It's like, this is a grown-up wrestling event. We don't want your goddamn kids here. Like, this isn't for them. Like, and they're like, you brought a kid here, disqualified. Like,
oh.
That's my goodness.
Hood Slam is a lot of fun. All right, Max.
Well, coming off that fantastic story, I don't really have a great one.
All right.
XCOM, Enemy Within, whatever the difficulty level is,
sure.
Below impossible.
Heart.
Yeah, one down from that.
Challenger.
I've done before. That was a lot of fun. And then Halo 4 on Legendary. I've done that.
That's pretty good.
All right, so that's our answers. And tell us your answers to this week's question week. What's the hardest mode you've ever beaten? In the comments on this episode. That you'll find on GamesRadar.com. And be sure to check out all our great content on the site, all the great videos, those live streams, 3:30 Pacific time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on Twitch. Check them all out. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And do we have a song queued up, Ashley?
Oh, we might. We might, all in right. fact, have a song queued up.
So, and also, you know, again, Jan, if you ever listen to this, we're really going to miss you. It was great working with you. And, yeah, we will see you next time because... Until next time, Radio Radar out!